Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown.
Welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. At The Credit Connection, we are a financial literacy class with different topics each week. We show you how to connect to the credit you want and deserve for your home, your business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, reverse and forward mortgages, you name it. If it has to do with credit or money, we discuss all the aspects. Recently, you've heard the term inverted yield curve has been all over the news predicting a recession. While often this is very reliable in such a prediction, it does not guarantee one, particularly when all the other conditions are different, such as full employment and low inflation, which is what we have now. The inverted yield curve is when shorter-term investments earn more than longer-term investments. What if your six-month CD earned 2% and your three-year CD earned 1.5%? Would you adjust? Of course you would. What it means for you is that inflation is very low and mortgage rates for the 30-year money is near historical lows again. Due to the margins banks and lenders need to achieve, you'll never really expect a 30-year mortgage to be much below 3%, but it will get close. If you hear of a mortgage advertisement for less than 3%, it most likely is going to be for a 15-year term or less. This window is now open, but don't wait to refinance your home or restructure your debt to your advantage while you can. I promise it will go up much faster than it falls. Call our office with your scenario for custom analysis and cost-benefit ratio if you'd like to consider a refinance. I want to share with you a success story we recently completed. We had a borrower who wanted to purchase a new home but had less than 3 years since a short sale. We could not do typical conforming loans like Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac as they require 4 years since a short sale date. We were able, however, to put on an FHA loan that solved this concern and had a fixed rate of 3.625% for his 30-year purchase. So it went down and he was happy with that and got a new home. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave your question or comment. You can also call us at 805-686-2321. Today's program, the idea comes from my listening to the news and how today's teenagers are embracing socialism. So I wanted to find out, and I'm thinking, why and how have we not prepared our school-age population with any concept of money or economics? So today we're calling this show Teenage Economics. Many of us have heard of voodoo economics during the Reagan era and the Laffer curve, but this is not the same. Let me assure you of that. Teenage economics is completely different. Here we're talking about adolescents and teenagers and young adults and what they know and learn about money and economics. That being said, we hope you can share these basic points with teenagers and help build their economic foundation. Our guest today will give us an insider's look at how they educate teenagers about financial responsibilities. Today in the studio, we welcome Carlos Cortez. Carlos is the Executive Director of the Los Padres Boy Scouts of America. And for full disclosure to our listeners, I am on the Board of Directors and the Pacific Coast District Chairman for the Boy Scouts here locally. Welcome, Carlos, to our show.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here today. Carlos, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started in the scouting movement.
So thank you for having me here today, Dave. So I'm actually a Santa Maria native, so I'm a local boy.
Yeah.
And back in the early 2000s, I headed down to Los Angeles to go to school. And when I was in school, right before I graduated, I met somebody that used to work for the Boy Scouts, and the opportunity was presented to me to join the ranks. And that was back in 2002. So once I graduated and had my degree in business, I decided to give the Voice of America a try in the professional realm, and have the opportunity to make an impact in all the local youth, especially the youth that needed it the most in impoverished neighborhoods around LA County. After doing that for about 10 years, I was given the opportunity to come back home and have that same impact here with our local youth in Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo County.
What is the Boy Scouts of America doing today in this area, and how is it helping our youth?
So Los Padres Council of Boy Scouts of America here in the Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo counties, we're doing a lot of work to help our young people be prepared for life. How to be effective adults and be philanthropic and get back to the community, develop their leadership skills to become better people and leaders in their industry. Doing that through helping them through to improve in their education process, also to be more aware of the community as a whole, and be more engaged and supportive of the needs of the community, being more connected to their families as well. Family is a key component of every kid's success. So being connected to their family, whatever their family dynamics are, being connected to them and be taking on responsibility within the family element to support their family, the community, and make some investments with time, treasure, and talent into their education.
I have two sons that are Eagle Scouts, and they went through that. And to be an Eagle Scout candidate or to earn that degree, they must first earn a personal management merit badge. What knowledge or task is required for the scout to earn that merit badge?
So the personal management merit badge has an array of things that where young people learn to be effective adults, functioning effective adults that contribute to the community. One of those elements is to be financially responsible for themselves and also to identify things that they could help the local community and their family to improve upon. Some of those can be implemented. Some of those can just be drafted and presented to various leaders. But personally, they have to go through a 6-month budget process where they account for all their income, whatever that may be. If they have a job or if they earned money from their parents for doing different chores, and for 6 months tracking their income and comparing it to their expenses, whatever those may be. Mm-hmm. But the idea that they should save for something bigger and having a goal at the end of the place, you know, to have either a bigger purchase or to make some financial investments in their future, and all along the way, work towards being financially responsible and having their own income produce mm-hmm. more income. So they learn how to match money effectively, also learn about interest rates and the variance of that and what that means, and also studying the market to a degree and seeing how investments work and how they could possibly invest some of their money and what that would mean to their own financial sustainability. So there's an array of things that they have to plan along with some leaders, and hopefully an adult that's well-versed in that realm for a 6-month period, and then at the end of it, come out knowing better what their financial sustainability personally would be.
And that's one of the longest merit badges are required for the merit badge is the personal management. They also have to pass or do an Eagle Scout project, and that can include some economics. What's the Eagle Scout project?
So an Eagle Scout project for somebody that's trying to attain the rank of Eagle, which is the highest rank in the Boy Scouts of America, it requires a service project to the local community. And it's got to be a service project to any community entity outside of the Boy Scouts. So they can't contribute to the local council, but it could be the local church, a local park, any entity that's a nonprofit. And the young person has to plan a project that's going to be long-lasting and impactful in their community. And it's going to have an array of elements, either constructing something or replacing something or improving a certain object or location of choice. And along those lines, they have to build a budget to see how much that service project will cost, get a lot of input from experts in that realm of that project would be, and then manage income. So they will have to fundraise to do some of that, and then manage how much expense they're going to have go out, and also be able to match other people's times in terms of their investment and service to that certain project.
So they're learning all about money and sources and vendors and everything else. Now, there's also a couple other merit badges I'm thinking of that, because what I'm not finding in the schools is teaching of economics. And I'm wondering, there's a merit badge, citizenship in the world and citizenship in the nation, that are also required of the Eagles rank. And what do those include? And are those, do those cover economics or history of those particular items?
Yeah, so they both cover degrees of economics and what various countries around the world, how they function and what kind of economic sustainability they have. And a young person will have to study those and identify pros and cons in terms of each one of their country's management processes in their mm-hmm. economic realm. And it also relates back to loans and debt and also market fluctuations and how that impacts governance and economic sustainability of not only the countries, but people within those countries. And again, what would be the pros and cons to all that, and how that impacts citizenship in the nation, how those economics impact here in the U.S. and right. what that means mm-hmm. to our country and the citizens within that country, and how one can best support, improve some of those elements. And so they're really looking at their future in leadership to say, okay, you know, when I'm an adult, how can I positively impact the economics of our country? So then the local communities also get impacted directly. Some of the things that we were talking about earlier about, you know, something as simple as student debt.
Right.
You know, what that means not only to that young person independently, but what that means in totality to our country and the future and the prosperity of all our community members and all of our national citizens.
Right. Yeah. No, that's great. I'm not finding those economics are in of world history or U.S. history at schools. Or if they are, they're watered down to a point that it's not including the economics. It's just memorizing the dates and events and things of that nature, and not going into the thought process of economics and what that means to that community or that nation. Do you see kids, other youth groups or anything else where there's additional learning opportunities for economics? If it's not at the school, obviously at home there should be some, but athletics or other things that youth are involved with. I haven't seen it outside of raising money to, you know, help support AYSO or their local Little League team or something like that. And that's really not economics. That's just sales.
Well, and I would say that, you know, there's many wonderful nonprofits that support youth across our area here. I believe that they all have some kind of variance degrees of financial stability in it and financial education. But I do agree that some of them have a limitation on what that education is according to their needs and their mission. And what we're trying to accomplish is making sure that not only the young person in our program, but really the family overall involved in our programs understand financial sustainability, financial education, and how important it is to not only open a bank account and have a few bucks in there, but really look at the long-term education of themselves and their kids to do long-term planning. Was long-term planning for higher education or long-term planning for credit stability, which in our country, your credit is everything. You know, you can have all the cash in the world, but if you don't have credit, you're not going to get very far. So being responsible for your own credit and really knowing what that means and personal responsibility and what that means overall and how that could impact your future.
If you're just now joining us, we're speaking with Carlos Cortez of the Boy Scouts of America and Teenage Economics. Home is also a great place for kids to learn about money management. Carlos, you have several young boys in your home, and what are some of the things that you're doing at home for your boys to learn about money?
We have three young boys, 11, 8, and 3. And, you know, at a very young age, we're trying to teach them the responsibility of earning money and managing your resources and assets correctly. Something as simple as they have a certain amount of chores that they have to do on a daily basis, you know, and some are as simple as, you know, make your bed when you get up or take care of your pet and help us water things of that sort. So what we do in accordance to the list of chores, they earn a certain amount of money for completing their chores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's teaching them about the value of money right. and the value of real hard work.
Right.
And so as they get older, the chores get a little more difficult. And of course, their reward for completing those chores also a little bigger than they used to be. And then along those lines, my wife and I always make a point to set goals or help our boys set their own goals of, you know, what purchases do you want to make? What things do you want to use your money for? And as they get older, you know, those goals change. You know, they start as something as simple as the latest and greatest video game and
right.
how much that costs. To now, you know, my older boy is starting to think about his future and say, well, you know, open up an IRA or maybe a college fund of some sort. You know,
uh-huh.
it's now starting to spark his interest. And we're talking about opening a checking account so he can start working on a bigger, broader exchange and possibly in the future, you know, his credit as well. So we invest a lot of money. I mean, yeah, a lot of money and a lot of time as well with them. So they're fluent in financial education.
Right.
You know, while we're limited on funds, they understand that and their interests are vary. And you know, now they're talking about, you know, family vacations and if they could contribute to that. And they're going to say, we like to take a family vacation to X, And we know that it costs this much. My son, older son, is out doing research on his own, saying, if I help with that, can that possibly be a family goal that we could all accomplish together if we put a certain amount of money away every day? They're great. So we're working ourselves through different things, and they're getting a bigger perspective of what financial management means.
Right. Well, you can even have them go on the internet and find the better deals to do that type of it's not always how much you have to put away, but what savings can you make in the process?
Yeah, I mean, a scout is thrifty, right?
Right.
A scout is thrifty, and finding the best deal and managing yourself to say, okay, do I really need those $80 sneakers, or can I get away with the $30 sneakers that are going to help me run just as fast
and
look just as cool, so it's not going to make a difference.
Right. And they're understanding the value of the money by the amount of work it takes to get it.
That's right. You know, surprisingly enough, so, they're better with their money. The harder the job gets and the harder it is to earn it, they're better managing their money than otherwise.
Mowing the lawn versus water the pots.
Correct.
The plants, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot more effort to push that lawnmower than it is to turn the hose on.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, good, good. Well, and it sounds like you got a well-organized group of boys there, and they're learning all about economics.
Yeah, we're trying, you know, something as simple as managing home as well. You know, we now share the bills with them in our family budget and say, okay, this is how much we spend on electricity and water and food. And so if you want to do this thing, then, you know, somewhere along the line, we have to save. Right. So turn off the lights, turn off the water.
It's important to turn off the lights. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's great. As opposed to just barking at them and say, hey, told you to shut the light off.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it gives them a reason why, you know, as why you do that. Well, that's great. And that's where kids really learn a lot from home and family as to how they handle money and the value of working with it. Making choices, like you said, new shoes or a video game, they have to discriminate. What is it I'm going to get or do without, depending upon the choices that they have. And then no impulse buying. You know, if you come across something that says, hey, because you're in the mall or something, hey, I really think that's cool and I want to get it. Fine, let's put that on a consideration, but don't do it right then. If you do an impulse buy, more often than not, you wouldn't buy it the day after.
Right.
And then you've made the mistake. It's what's called buyer's remorse.
Right.
Okay, and we all have had that at one time or another. So, and then savings for a later time, planning and budgeting, for a bigger goal, and not just the maintenance of items, but for those identity items that help form that persona in the future. It might be riding lessons for equestrian, and so that, because they just really love horses and they want to have riding lessons, or getting out on the dunes and riding a motorcycle,
right.
Things of that nature. So you might plan and budget and do the savings is another. And then one I think is really important and overlooked is be content. Teach your kids to be content with what they have at the moment. Not content indefinitely, but at the moment. So, for example, if the best car that you're able to get is a beat-up Subaru, and in your class there's another classmate that is driving a new BMW, don't be jealous. Be happy for them, but be content with what you have. Don't be envious in any way. And then teach them how credit cards work. If you buy something with a credit card, explain to them what that transaction is. Well, I'm taking home the TV today, but I'll be paying for it for the next 3 months over the course of time with my credit card. Because I don't have all the cash right this minute, or any other event. What does a credit card do? How much does it cost? Things of that nature, all of it real important. And then, like you say, opening up a bank account. That'll go a long ways in teaching your young person, you know, the responsibility and how money flows in and out. And it's accurate, very accurate.
It is.
And it also tells them about fees. Well, why is there a $5 fee for my checking account when I just wrote one check? All I did was use the ATM machine. Well, there's a cost to that. Somebody's invested in the ATM machine. Somebody has to stock it. There's employees required. Now you're learning about operations and the cost thereof. And then we were talking earlier about where kids get this economic information and how they process it. To a kid, socialism sounds really cool. Lots of free stuff, including college and medical care and job security. The problem is that responsibility is gone. There's no more personal responsibility for that. You've shifted it to another entity, predominantly the government, and they pay. So socialism is really the equal sharing of misery, except for the ruling class or the decision-making politicians, as a rule. And we're seeing some bad results of that. What they haven't studied is the history of socialism and how that's gone, a kid's perspective. The news stories and the political promises look very favorably on the socialism. But if you look at the history, the end game is oppressive and tragic. Look at the USSR, Soviet bloc. They've all gone back to capitalism for the most part. Then you've got Venezuela, which is, we all hear, in the everybody's trying to get out of Venezuela because of that oppression. And then Cuba is another country. And then now we're seeing it, riots or protest in Hong Kong. So be careful what you wish for. It might come upon you. Then with capitalism, capitalism is perceived as sometimes cruel, as someone else is making too much profit or exploiting resources of labor and environment, so it must be bad. So the capitalistic aspect, unfortunately, I differ in the solution or the final judgment, but I see how the kids are coming back and how they have that socialistic appeal to it. Capitalism requires work and investment and a political climate allowing it to flourish. Profit is not bad, but earned by a discriminating consumer for the goods and services you offer. Is Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos bad because they become wealthy, providing what consumers want? Should a professional athlete or actress be chastised because they make millions each year for their efforts? I say no. Capitalism allows one to reach their full potential in their chosen trade or profession. There's a lot more opportunity with capitalism than there'll ever be with socialism to becoming to your full potential. But I want to go back to Carlos. Do you have a funny story or a something that you've seen in the past in all the scouting endeavors you've been at that might relate to economics?
So something that just happened, just not this long ago, I had the pleasure of participating in a Boy Scout summer camp with my son's troop. So it was his first summer camp out with the Boy Scout troop. He used to be a Cub Scout. And so me and another four men took a week off of work, took 18 young boys to a summer camp in Death Valley, which is out by San Diego, San Bernardino County.
Right.
You know, in preparation to the boys going out there, you know, we told the parents and these young scouts to prepare themselves with their tent essentials, you know, water and clothes for cold and hot weather and all the, you know, first aid and everything else they need. And then also asked the parents to send a little bit of cash with them in case they wanted to buy something that was memorable to that particular camp, and also for their food for the trip there. It was a 7-hour drive from Santa Maria to there. And so they needed to buy food on the way there, and they're going to have to buy food on the way back. So, you know, all the boys got a various amount of money from their parents. And before we took off, we told them, okay, this is for X amount of things. So be responsible with your money. It's on your pocket. So just remember, at the very least, have enough to come back and buy a meal.
Right.
Well, sure enough, you know, most of the boys did. And the two boys that got the most amount of money, both of them had $100 in their pocket on their way back, did not
have anything.
Did not have any left on our way back to buy lunch. And those are the two boys that had the most money, you know, but it was something that was handed to them that was super easy. They, you know, I don't know how often their parents just give them money like that. But while at camp, they blew $80 on candy. All on candy. So on our way back, you know, the other adult leaders and I are kind of looking at this and waiting to see what they're going to do. You know, are they going to take it upon themselves to skip a meal and then we would have to offer them some money to do so? Are they going to ask their counterparts to borrow some money? And I was very proud of my son because he noticed that on one of them, his friends, you know, kind of just kind of circled and circled around and asked them, hey, Are you not going to eat lunch? And we stopped at McDonald's, nothing special. And he said, oh, I'm not hungry. I said, well, and you know, my son's 11. He asked him, well, are you not hungry or did you run out of money? and then, you know, this young guy tucked his head down, said, well, I just don't have any money left. And so my son, I was very proud of him. He walked over and said, okay, I have a little bit of money left. I'll lend it to you, you know, order some food and you know, so you can eat.
Yeah.
So he did. But then I turned around and said, okay, well, I lend you $6 and, you know, whatever change. You're going to have to make it at even $7 when we get back. Just so he's already a capitalist. Even though he had good thoughts in his heart, he's a capitalist. Hey, you know, just make it even $7 and we'll get rid of the change. So, but he wanted to make sure that his friend ate.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he stopped and said, well, you know, that's you know, he's got to teach him and ask him. So why'd you do this? I said, well, you know, I wanted to make sure that he ate because it's a long ride. But I did want to make sure that he understood that next time he's got to be more responsible with his money and not blow it all before he leaves.
Carlos, how can anybody interested in Scouts reach out to you?
Council website is www.lpcbsa.org. Okay. That's Los Padres Council Boys of America.org. And there's tons of information on how to join, how to support our young people and their efforts, and with either the talent, time, or treasure. And then my personal number is 805-967-0105.
And you're also on Facebook and things of that nature.
Yeah, the council has a Facebook page and Instagram, so please follow us and join.
Well, thanks again. Once again, we're out of time. We've had a great time with Carlos Cortez of Boy Scouts of America discussing teenage economics. Thank you again, Carlos, for being here and joining us today and sharing your expertise and perspectives. Every week at the Credit Connection, we endeavor to earn your trust and provide you not just valuable information, but actionable tips of the trade that makes an impact on you. If you agree, please share the program with other friends and family. We post our current and previous Credit Connection shows onto our website, reloans.com, in case you miss one or want to share with someone else. For questions or comments, go to our website, reloans.com, or call us at 805-686-2321 and share your credit stories or scenarios with us. Thank you for tuning in to the Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. I'm your host, David Brown, from High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321 or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com and visit David online at reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.